Cities matter for growth because they are the best pathways out of poverty into prosperity that humankind has ever found. There's an enormously strong correlation between cities and wealth, cities and income. So if you compare those countries that are more than 50% urbanized to those countries that are less than 50% urbanized, the more urbanized countries have on average incomes that are 5 times higher and infant mortality levels that are less than a third. Even more dramatically, urbanization in 1960 is a very strong predictor of subsequent economic growth for the poorer countries of the world. If you compare the places that started with more urban density to the places that started with less, there's a huge difference. And it's an open question as to why that is. Cities exist to facilitate interactions. Many of those interactions are beneficial. But of course, they're also about the negative interactions. There's a lot of connection between cities and skills. Urban success, both in the wealthy world and in the developing world, depends very much on investment in human capital. And it's not just a question of an individual's skills making them wealthier, but it's the individual's neighbor's skills making them wealthier. In fact, it really pays to have smart neighbors who can give you a job or can give you some new bit of know-how. But much of our focus is actually on the downsides of density, crime, congestion, and clean water. Much of our discussion today was around infrastructure, and infrastructure is a huge part of the urbanization process, but it's one in which it's easy to get things monumentally wrong. And I think the broad lesson of 30 years of economics in this is to just engage in assiduous cost-benefit analysis before laying down a dollar. A second lesson is, in many cases, it makes sense to have users pay. So roads, which typically serve drivers, who are often among the wealthier citizens, are really best paid for by those drivers. And ideally, you want to start, when you build a new road, get the principle of user pays or congestion fee in there early. And this relates to something that the economists Gilles Duranton and Matthew Turner have called the fundamental law of highway traffic, which is that vehicle miles traveled increase roughly 1 for 1 with highway miles built. If you build it, they will drive it, which means that anyone who thinks they're just going to solve their traffic congestion problem by building more roads is making a mistake, because it'll just elicit more and more driving. So anytime there's a new highway, get the principle of a toll in there early so you can actually increase that toll over time, because if people are used to driving on roads for free, they're never going to allow you to put a toll. We often have instances of cases in which there's a multi-billion dollar infrastructure project that then gets underutilized because the poor residents of the city just don't think it makes sense to pay the $1,000 to connect to the water system, to connect to the sewage system. This was going on in Manhattan 160 years ago when New Yorkers built this amazing Croton Aqueduct, which was supposed to solve everyone's problems. And yet for another 25 years, New York was experiencing cholera epidemics because the poor people didn't connect. Even though they had subsidized water, it wasn't near enough, and they continued to use the shallow wells that poisoned them. Things didn't happen until New York changed incentives, and they changed incentives by essentially requiring people to connect to the system. Clearly, there needs to be something to nudge people to actually take on responsibility for cleaning up their own cities. One part of the New York story, which is really important, has come out at many IGC events on cities, is the importance of land ownership, of regularizing control over land. The obligations were imposed not on the tenants, but on the landowners. Who are conceivably able to bear it. But if you don't know who owns the land, you can't impose any obligations on them. The titling agenda, the ownership agenda, is not just about raising property taxes for cities. It's not just about empowering people to unlock the value in their property, to become entrepreneurs, to do something else with it. But it's also about moving to a world in which people take responsibility for their own cities. And that's really ultimately what the long-run purpose of the IGC's program is. At their heart, cities are about interactions between human beings. They enable us to get smart by being around other smart people. They enable us to trade with one another. But too often they fail. And they fail because we've let the negative interactions that occur in cities go wild, and we haven't enabled the conditions for the positive interactions. We haven't educated, we haven't created rule of law, we haven't created the safe spaces that enable people to interact with each other. The job of government is to make urban interactions work, and ultimately, from those interactions comes economic growth. Because for millennia, cities have been working wonders, enabling people to come up with new ideas, to transform themselves, to move out of poverty into prosperity, and they continue to do that today.